supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Go figure. The hottest planet in our solar system houses way more ice than previously imagined. Let's make our way to Mercury with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. And Derek, it wasn't as if before we thought there were a handful of drops and now there's a cupful. There was a lot of water on Mercury that we knew about before this more recent discovery.
I think it's sort of counterintuitive to imagine that Mercury, the planet that we know of as being closest to the sun and so blistering hot, could even have any kind of ice at all. But 5 years ago, in 2012, it was confirmed that indeed in the polar regions of Mercury, there are large craters that are constantly in shadow, so they don't receive any radiation from the sun. Since there's no atmosphere to speak of on Mercury, there's no way to conduct temperature around the planet in any sort of uniform fashion. So regions that don't receive radiation directly from the sun don't have an opportunity to warm up very much. This in turn has allowed for the discovery of ice made of water in these craters, at least 100 billion tons, and most likely much more.
But back to hot Mercury. Water boils at, I think, 212 degrees Fahrenheit.
Precisely.
How warm does it get on the side facing the sun?
Well, four times that temperature on the side facing the sun. It's 800 degrees Fahrenheit. And Mercury has a day that's 175 days long. And so the sun side of the planet bakes for a very long time, 175 days. But the other side of the planet, again, since there's no atmosphere to conduct any temperature around really in that global sense, is almost 300 degrees below zero. So there's this tremendous contrast. There are regions on Mercury and, by the way, our very own moon that stay shadowed permanently. And so ice can be found in craters in those regions.
What are the implications of finding so much ice on, in this case, Mercury? You cited the moon, other moons in the solar system.
One of the implications is that we're learning that water had a much bigger role, either as liquid or in an ice form, in the early history of our solar system than we previously supposed. Not only have we learned that at one time Mars itself was very much warmer and very much wetter, but we've also been able to identify liquid water oceans as part of the composition of some of the moons of the gas giant planets. We've been able to identify water ice in the craters at the poles of our moon. And in addition to this 100 billion tons of water at least, other scientists are speculating, have found evidence, in fact, that there's at least 1,300 square miles of additional water found on Mercury, frozen, of course, in adjacent craters at the poles of the planet.
Subsurface, as we note on some of the gas giant moons, or on the surface?
Surprisingly, this is actually right on the surface of Mercury. We have found in some places that the ice is as much as 65 feet thick in these craters. The other implication of this is that this water can be used as a resource by visiting explorers. Because of the components of hydrogen and oxygen, not only can you derive breathable oxygen from this, or actually liquid water that could be used in a number of ways, but the hydrogen that's part of this also becomes a critical component of something that could be used for rocket fuel, and that's hydrazine. So in a way, if we wanted to really dream big, we could think of these places, both Mercury and the moon, as potential space exploration service station outposts.
We have a moment left. What's available in the night sky this week, including the moon?
It turns out that the moon is a perfect target for observing this week. Thursday is the harvest moon. It's the first full moon after the autumnal equinox, so this makes it the harvest moon. The way in which the moon rises successively day after day around this period gives additional light for the agricultural community to harvest into the evening. But it's also just beautiful to see rising on the horizon in these days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week as we can be out in the evening sky. We'll also find that Saturn is still there in the southwestern portion of the sky, but Venus and Mars dominate the pre-dawn sky. So if you're up early, since sunrise is coming at nearly 7 a.m., the sky is dark until late in the morning, shall we say. This gives plenty of opportunity for those who are early risers to see two really great planets, particularly Venus, which shines so brilliantly in the pre-dawn sky.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.